Well, good morning, everyone, and you're very welcome. As we begin this morning, a brand new series where we're going to, over the next 10 weeks or so, go through the book of Colossians. And if you've seen the little image that we've been advertising this series with, you will see that it's called Gloriously Complete. Gloriously Complete, and you can ponder that title. It's a wee challenge in that title as well as we go through the series. But now let's just bow our heads and pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, we invite your Holy Spirit now to come and invade our hearts and minds wherever we are, that you would remove all of the current distractions and help us to focus on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, how long can you hold your breath for? Seems like a strange question, doesn't it? How long can you hold your breath? Well, I was reading, because you've been a bit of a movie nerd, I was reading how Kate Winslet, for the new film Avatar 2, she had to learn how to hold her breath for quite long periods of time because she was doing a lot of filming underwater, as you do. Like, imagine if we did church underwater. So she had to learn from Navy SEALs, ex-Navy SEALs who teach their colleagues the techniques of really free diving in order to gain an average underwater time of about 6 minutes. And she actually recorded 7 minutes and 14 seconds, holding her breath for 7 minutes and 14 seconds. Now, I would suggest without training, we would all pass out if we tried to do that. But that was to enable her to go deep underwater. Now, our little series, Gloriously Complete, is to enable you to go deep into Jesus. To go deep, not for 7 minutes and 14 seconds, but to go deep for a lifetime in order that you can go wide with the message. And by wide with the message, we mean not just within your social group or your working group, but wherever you may find yourself, you will be gloriously complete and equipped in the depth of knowledge that is in the person of Jesus Christ, that you will be able to talk about his gospel without concern and do so quite happily and gloriously, because you will be gloriously complete. So that's what we're after in this series. Now, that requires something from you, and that requires you to be deeply, deeply intentional about this series, to take your discipleship in Jesus Christ incredibly seriously, and to ask yourselves questions every step of the way: how am I going deep into Jesus? Am I engaging with this text? Have I even read this text? What does this text mean to me, this marvelous book of Colossians, a letter to the church in Colossae written by Paul in prison in Ephesus? These incredible words, four chapters, I reckon about 30 minutes top to read it. Have you read it? Have you engaged with this word? Because to engage with the word, and more than once, I would suggest, is the beginning of trying to go deep with Jesus. How deeply intentional are you going to be? Now, there's a context here for this book. And it was quite common context to all of Paul's letters. And the main context and the main point that you really need to get your heads around is that heresy was creeping in to these churches, whether it was Ephesus or Philippi, and this one is particular, Colossae. All right? heresy was creeping in. And Paul is writing an incredible letter of encouragement, but also of challenge, asking his people to go deeper, in one sense, into Jesus, to be so deeply rooted in Jesus that nothing would sway them. You get the image? The storms of life are not going to uproot this Christian who is deeply rooted in Jesus Christ. So that is what's going on. And I'm always reminded when I think of being complete in Jesus, that scene from the movie Jerry Maguire, where there are two people in the lift using sign language, and one signs to the other, and Jerry Maguire doesn't know what it is, but Renee Zellweger tells them that one has signed to the other, "You complete me. You complete me." And I promise you, completeness is found in Jesus Christ. And that's what we are after in this 10-week series through Colossians. We want you to know, and not just know, but intentionally then engage in being complete with Jesus Christ. Now then, what I have here is a beautiful bottle of Bordeaux wine. All right? This is easily the best sermon illustration that I purchased. So this is a bottle of Bordeaux wine, 2018, from Chateau La Marzelle in the Bordeaux region of France. Now, I put it to you that I wouldn't have a clue where Bordeaux was or what Bordeaux did unless I knew about the fruit of the labors of the people in the Bordeaux region, which is Bordeaux wine. It's only when I see the fruit of their labor that I might actually start to ask, well, what did they do in order to produce the fruit of their labor? And I was doing a little bit of research, and I discovered that a year in the life of a winemaker in the Winemaker's Almanac, specifically as ascribed to French winemakers. Don't know what they do in California or South Africa or New Zealand or anywhere else in the world, but this is what the French vow to do in order to produce the fruit of their labor. All right? Each month you will invest energy in cultivating the vineyard. You will take care of pruning, trellising, and leaf removal. You will avoid such diseases as mildew or powdery mildew. You will respect the vegetative cycle. You will monitor the weather conditions. You will carefully observe fruit set and ripening. You will decide upon the harvest date. You see, it's only when you've seen the fruit of their labors that you might start to inquire, well, what did it take to actually produce that bottle of wine, that fruit? And here we have a situation in which Paul has never been to Colossae, but he's heard about what has been going on. And the thing that he's heard about is the fruit of their labor, the fruit of them talking about the gospel. And that fruit comes to his ears in the words of their love for all the saints and their love in the Spirit. It is that he has heard of. He has heard of their love for all around them, their love for all the people, their love born of the gospel of Jesus Christ is what has reached his ears. And he writes to encourage them by saying this all over the world. Verse 6, all over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing. In other words, you're not alone. That love that you're expressing and that love which is growing is being replicated all over the world. Now, the known world to Paul at that point was so small compared to the known world as we know it in the 21st century. But all over Paul's world, the love of Christ was being shared in the words of the gospel, and that fruit was growing. And with each new piece of fruit, we have a new creation. Isn't that right? Every season, you go into the apple orchards and you produce and pull out new fruit. Or into the vineyards of the Bordeaux region and new fruit. And the fruit is growing. Not just in Colossae, but in all the world. And that fruit is the love of Christ. And that is what Paul has heard about. He hasn't heard about their teaching. He hasn't heard about their preaching. He hasn't heard about their outreach. He's heard nothing else about them other than that they love in the gospel everyone. Can we say that? Can we honestly say we love everyone? You know, there's never been any greater teaching than Jesus' teaching. No greater moral teaching in history, if you want to call it moral teaching, it's probably the best reference point. Nothing greater than love God, love your neighbor, love your enemy. Now that's a resolution for every difficulty in the world, every war, everything. Love. The love of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus Christ, which is epitomized by love. His love for you, for me, shown at the cross. Love. Do you believe that? Because to start going deep with Jesus Christ means accepting that that love conquers all. That love resolves all. That love is the answer to everything. That love completes you. Completes me. Christ's love. Jesus Christ completes you. Completes me. Do you believe that? Are you willing to engage in that? Are you willing to accept that? Are you willing to embrace that? Are you willing ultimately to live that love? As Paul is clearly encouraging the people of Colossae to do, he's heard about their love in the gospel for all, and that love is growing, and he uses the analogy of fruit. The fruit is being born, and its fruit is growing. Marvelous. As a result of that, he says this, verse 9, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. So Paul's response to hearing about the love that the people of the Colossae church have for others, in fact for all, is to pray for them. To pray for them. Now, Bishop Tom Wright, who might argue with Tom Wright, writes lots of books, uses this to portray a truth of the Christian life, which he says is this: what is worked for must be prayed for. Do you hear that? What is worked for must be prayed for. And here we have Paul demonstrating this. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped pray for you. And when you think about it, that's right, isn't it? How many of us really have been to South America? How many of us have been to the persecuted church in China? How many of us have been to the Middle East, where the church hides in houses and but is still growing? How many of us have done that, seen that, experienced that? Very, very few. Yet we've heard about them, and we know that the fruit of their love is growing, especially in China. My goodness, the church is growing madly there. We've never been, what we've heard. And what is our response? We pray for them, don't we? We pray for them. I know we do in this church. I know friends who do, and I'm pretty convinced other churches do. We pray for those people, our brothers and sisters in other lands. I don't have to meet them. I don't have to see them. I don't have to go there. I don't have to experience it. I pray for them. I pray for them. So that what is worked for is prayed for. The love expressed by the prayers we make. And then Paul goes on. Because he doesn't want them, he doesn't want to pray, he wants to pray specifically, in a specific way for them. So he prays like this: "We have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father." And it goes on. He prays that they will have knowledge. Knowledge and spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, what's going on there? Well, again, I turn to Tom Wright. And he puts it quite simply this way. I couldn't put it any better. Understanding, an increased understanding of Jesus Christ, will fuel holiness. Holiness will deepen understanding. In other words, if we live in obedience to Christ, our understanding and knowledge of Christ will grow. Our holiness, or our likeness, our increased likeness to Christ, will also grow, and it becomes a virtuous circle. The more obedient we are, the more we will get to know him, and so on and so forth. And over time, our knowledge and wisdom and understanding of Jesus Christ and how he works and how he thinks and how he acts grows, and we go deeper, deeper into him. And that is what Paul is praying for the church in Colossae. He wants them, that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. The product of their knowledge, of their understanding of Jesus Christ, is the fruit. This metaphorical fruit, which is that his love spreads widely, and more love him too. And so it keeps going. But what it requires are committed individuals, deeply intentional in their love of Jesus, in their understanding of Jesus, in their knowledge of Jesus, deeply intentional in working out their salvation, as the Bible calls it, working that out, that more and more fruit may be born, that love spreads. That it spreads. Now, it's really not too much to ask that we might be obedient to Jesus Christ. It really isn't too much to ask when you consider what we've just celebrated at Easter, which was his death and his resurrection. I mean, if a man goes and dies for you, it seems pretty reasonable that we should be almost in his debt. Isn't that right? Yet he doesn't treat it as us being in his debt. It was a freely given thing, which makes our obedience to him even more necessary. And really not a hard thing to be asking. I encourage you, as we start working our way through this marvelous book of Colossians, to really think about the simple things that make us as Christians holy, separate, set apart in the world in which we live, which is our obedience to a Lord and Savior who died for us and rose for us, that we might live, that our sins might be forgiven, that eternal life may be in the here and in the time to come. That's what's going on. That's the great spiritual battle in the world in which we live. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? We want you to engage with the person of Jesus Christ and to go deep. It's time to go deep. The world, I would argue, needs the church to go deep. To go deep, to be deeply disciplined, and to be deeply intentional, so that the love which we profess can go wonderfully wide. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. So we ask you right here and right now, wherever we're sitting, whatever we're doing, that you would place in us, by the power of your Spirit, a spirit of deep intentionality to know you more, to understand you more, to be more obedient to you, to live lives guided by you, and to share your love, that it bears fruit everywhere. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.